Welcome to Big Talk for Breeders. My name is Michael Doherty, a show-jumping breeder from the west of Ireland. And in each episode, I'll bring you a new interview with a successful sport horse breeder. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Now let's get started. This is episode number 7 with Jan Greve. Jan has been a successful stallion owner, a vet, and also a breeder of show jumpers, eventers, and dressage horses. If you were to start all over again, is there one particular mare that you would definitely want to start with?
Yeah, at the time when I started, I don't know all these mares. So.
Knowing what you know now and having experienced those mares, are there one of them that you would, if you were starting your breeding program again, that you would love to have?
Yeah, we'll start with the last one we started with, Celine.
The Mermis?
The Mermis mare, yeah. The Mermis will tell me.
What is it about her that has made her such a special mare or a significant mare?
The big eye.
But are there particular qualities in her that you're especially attracted to?
Yeah, well, qualities in her. I never saw her made one jump, but she breeds jumps. And she breeds quality, and she breeds horses that are on the ball, you know, want to do the job. That's I think is the best of her. But I never saw her make a jump, but she produced jumpers. And it's a family, and the mother, the Voltaire mare, also produces very good horses. So everything what the mare produced, the Voltaire mare wants to do the job. Even I had one with a clump foot. And from a dressage horse that was not good enough to be a dressage horse, but it's the fantastic horse in four in hand. It's the front horse that leads one of the Americans to the gold medal in Thailand. That's a horse, they all want to do the job, you know, they want to work for you. And they don't fool around and always wants to do the right thing, and that's the most important.
Normally you assess them before they go into your breeding program, but did you say you bought her with a foaled foot?
No, yeah, we bought her with a foaled foot, but we bought her because she came from a good family that produces several horses, like the one from Willem Usselin.
Yeah.
And there were more, Praline, and there were several horses that came from that family that showed that they were very good horses, and that's very good performance, and that's why we bought her. And so far she did not, even she was a bit older mare already when we bought her, she keep producing one after one good performance.
From all the special mares that you've had over all the years, are there particular qualities that each of them have shared?
Want to do the job, that's first, and the show jumpers must be very reactive, very quick, very the neurologic system should be very quick, reacting quick from the ground, not slow thinkers, no slow boats. That's the most important. And it's not only with show jumpers, it's also with dressage horses. Must have quick in the reactions, can do the movements, the piaf precise. They must be not boom boom, but and also it's the best way of saving your life when you do eventing. You need a horse that's quick,
get you out of trouble. Yeah.
Doesn't get into the trouble.
Yeah.
Not out of trouble, not yeah. Into trouble. And some horses have that, you know, they never touch a pole. They can jump crooked, but they never touch the pole. They all quick, and that's very, very important.
And are they qualities that you saw in the mares themselves before they went into your breeding program?
With Celine, no. I mean, Celine, I never saw her jump.
Yeah.
But she produced the good one, so that's why.
It's most important.
But of course they must have something themselves as well if she jumps. She cannot give away what she doesn't have.
Yeah. And that's a very good point, because if they're not the true natural talent to begin with, they're not going to give the true natural talents.
And that's important. If you choose your own stock, don't fool yourself by helping them or making them difficult, and you think that's a good one with all. It's like peeing in the pant if you help them. It's only a short time long. And then it's getting colder.
Yeah. What one stallion do you find particularly interesting that you haven't used yet? Are there any stallions that really have your curiosity or really have your interest, but for some reason or another you just haven't used them or found the mare to use on them yet or use them with yet?
I haven't used my Lord Catargo, which I regret. In the beginning we thought, I like the horse a lot. I thought he didn't breed what we thought he should do, but now when they're getting old, it's breeding very well. I think very well. And I lost the mare through colic, and she was in foal to my Lord Cotago. She was a very hot mare, so I was thinking a lot of the product, but I lost it.
And it's interesting, I was on a trip yesterday with the Dutch Breeders Foundation.
Okay.
And we had that discussion about Milo Cathago.
I didn't know.
And it's come up a few times recently where, you know, he had such a good career with Penelope Leprevo, and then it almost seemed like people weren't particularly excited about the production at the beginning, but now they seem to be coming quite fast. So it's interesting. We were only just talking about him yesterday evening. It's interesting that that's the example.
It is one of these horses that you should not judge on the 2 years old jumping. You know, they're not mature, not ready to do the job as a 2 years old. So then we, of course, my Lord came, and then you very keen on the progeny, and maybe we judge them too early, not ready to do it. But now they're getting older, they do a very good job in general.
Do you think that they have any particular characteristics that do they share any characteristics, or is there something specific about the offspring that you like?
No, the results are like, and yeah, not special.
You've had a lot of different stallions here, and you obviously, you know, you breed a lot of your own stallions and you've bought in stallions, but when you're assessing your future stallions or your stallions to retain or present for approval, what qualities or characteristics are you...
Yeah, the results in the ring are getting more and more important, more than the 3 years old that we judge. You know, they have to do their job in the ring, and then we can go and breeding. It's coming more and more to that. The Dutch system was a bit too much focus on the young ones, I think. And I think the quicker the generation is going, the better the results are, but that's not true. I mean, the horse world is more slower than we want to do. The next generation should be better than the first one, but that's not always true. And in nature, it's also so that the best... Yeah, nature dictates already that the males that are the best in the game are the best breeders, that they will breed the herd later on. It's with deer, and it's with deer especially. The one that they fight, the males fight each other, and the one that wins breeds the group the next time. And that's how nature works. And I think that we should do this the same with the stallions. We should compete with the stallions into the ring, and the best ones we should breed with. And not so early, not at a 3 year or 4 years old. Put them in the sport, and the best ones we breed with. But it takes some time. It is not from today to tomorrow, but that's how nature works, I think. Especially with the male ones. It's a different thing with the females, but with the male ones, they should compete each other and fight each other, and the best ones shall breed the next generation. And it's also so the best, how you say, the best stallions that produce the best are also the best jumpers in the ring. That's what we see last year. So it's not a new one coming. It's always the ones that were good in the battlefield, they produce also the best, like my Lord Cotago or whatever. I mean, coming for now, from especially bred from a father that competes very well and a mother that was fantastic. Kidam de Revel was the same from dam side and mother side. Both are very well horses, but so we should be more slowly with our male ones and wait till they prove themselves in the ring. And the female is a totally different thing.
There's also a difficulty in that. What, you know, I agree that what they do in the sport is most important. What's a difficulty with stallions is that often if we wait too long to see what they do, by the time we start to use them, then, like, if stallions don't get supported young, by the time they're competing at a high level, people look at them and say, oh, well, they haven't bred anything. Even if they haven't got the opportunities to breed anything, breeders are very quick to dismiss because they have no offspring coming through. And I wonder, how do you find the balance between waiting to see what they do in sport, but also supporting them so that they're not almost dead before we start using them as breeders?
In the middle age is the best age. You don't wait till they die, but between 12 and 16, I think, is the best age to use a stallion. Then we know how good he is in the ring, and then we can start using him. I think that's better. Better than start using him too early, and he is it could be a mistake, I think.
And I guess at 12, they've had the opportunity to reach their full potential, and they've also had the opportunity to stay at the top level for 2 or 3 seasons. You know, you can see how consistent they are, how sound they are, how you know, there's some horses that just keep coming back every year at top level and they're jumping every second or third week, and it tells you a lot about what they might give.
Yeah, that I agree. Yeah, you wait till they have that age before you think it's too much of them.
When you're searching for a new thoroughbred stallion for the sport horse world, what exactly are you looking for?
Well, first of all, I need an athletic horse with a good canter and a good supple body, and the thoroughbred is bred to win. But the second thing, he must have the quality to be a good show jumper. That's first of all. If he uses a thoroughbred with not the quality, not the technique, and the brain and the technique and the scope to be a good show jumper, then he makes too much. He can give the quality of the thoroughbred into the warm-blood breeding, but he ruins all the quality we have as a show jumper. And show jumping is something extra for a horse. You can be a very, very, very good horse without the ability to jump. Yeah, the jumper can. Every horse can jump. A little bit of water or whatever forward. But the technique we need, the quick, the reaction from the ground, that he should have, and that's something extra on the horse. It's nothing normal. That's why if you have a horse with these reactions and the technique and the willingness to jump, then you have to be very careful to koester that. You have to. You don't want to lose it. That's what you want to keep, and you can live with a lot of different things. But he should have that technique of the jumping. And if they don't have the technique of the jumping, it's very new. That's why if you have a good show jumping family, and if you use one time a stallion that does not jump, or a lot of taquinas don't have a good jump, if you use it one time, it's ruined the whole breeding system for the last 10 generations. You can build up a jumping family in 10 generations, you ruin it in one time, because it's something special to a horse. Indifferent to a gate. I mean, if you have a good moving family with good gates, a good dressage horse, good walk and trot and canter, you cannot ruin that. You can use 3-4 times a stallion that only jump and doesn't have any gait, the family still give the gates. It belongs to a horse that has survived through the generations. I mean, a horse that cannot move himself was eaten by the lions and killed in nature, while the other horse that couldn't jump still, but had a good move and still survived. So it's very precaire, I have to say. You have to, if you have it, you have to say it, you have to keep it like a diamond, you know. I have a horse that has all the ability to be a very good show jumper, quick reactions, careful, wants to do, you know, all you look, then you have to, you cannot throw it away. I can live with a lot of other things. He can be too small, he can have a crooked leg, whatever, or whatever what we don't like. But if he has that, then you should save that. I found what is koesteren? I don't know. You cherish it.
Or protect it, yeah.
You have to cherish that little thing. If you have a special one that, you know, that like, we had a horse called Jasper, in the little one.
The little one, yeah.
The little one. He was too small. You know, he couldn't trot. He trot like a mouse, but jumped. He could jump. Amazing.
Yeah, and I remember hearing stories about sometimes when it was back in the time where stallions would visit the mares instead of mares visit the stallions, and that sometimes you would have to have a place for the mare to stand because he was so small that she'd have to stand in a hollow so he could cover.
But he has this extra big eyes and wants to do the job, you know, amazing.
And that comes through in the mares. When you see Jasper and the mares, when you see Jasper and the mares pedigree, they have that something extra. Tough and a bit of fight, and they have something special. With the thoroughbreds, what concerns me, and I guess in Ireland, we probably have a much higher use of thoroughbreds than a lot of other countries in the sport horse industry. But a lot of the time, you have stallion owners taking stallions because maybe they're by a very successful sire, or that they've had a good career, but maybe they're not fashionable. And breeders are using stallions because of their success in say, flat racing. And it's crazy because just because they're a very successful racehorse, or they have a high rating, or they're by whatever, Galileo, there's absolutely no correlation to why they would be successful.
No, as we talked before, if you want to have a good football player for the first team of Arsenal, you don't You don't select him on his tennis qualities.
Yeah.
You want to be a good football player. So what can I do with a good racehorse that's very quick and but doesn't jump? But it can be a good jumper. I had Julio Merriner. He was a very good racehorse, and then we detected, found out that he also was a very good jumper. He did both. You know, he was a good racehorse, that's what he was bred for. But besides that, he also was a very good jumper. And that's why he made so many good horses. Very quick reaction, very reactive on the ground. Nothing to do with his racing career. He had his old quality, what a racehorse has. The brain, you know, the quick reactions, good canter. A lot of racehorses, and that we can use. But we don't throw, by using these qualities, we shouldn't throw away the jumping quality, what we bred into our warmer generations.
What purchase has had the greatest influence on your breeding program?
Voltaire.
And you might give a little bit of background on when you bought him and maybe a little bit the story of how you came to buy him.
Hank Nayev and me, we were on tour in Germany and we found him by accident on the Kuhertshof. There were a group of horses, 2 years old, was in May, 2 years old in the field. That were not good enough to go to the Stellen show in Germany, they thought. He was not too big, he was maybe 16 hands at that time. He had a split in his foot, he had a splint and whatever, you know, but he had big eyes, very good brain, looks to have, and he had a very good jump. And he came from a very good family. So, another family that was in the highlights because he was sold to amateurs, to rich amateurs that never made them to go to the Olympics. But there were good talks about the family, several sisters of his mother, or brothers of his mother. So that's why we bought him. And now he proves that his genes were fantastic, unbelievable that he's still so influential after how many years, 30 years,
yeah.
40 years. We bought him at born in 79.
And it's amazing that you bought him in 79, and I suppose with the technology that's available to us, that you can still have, you know, we saw a 2-year-old and did we see a 1-year-old?
Yeah.
Today by Volterra.
Well, Frozen Seaman,
79, yeah, it's kind of
but
amazing.
He's still modern. He still can compete with the best horses in the world, even in the breeding. Canon is a Volterra.
And what's great to see here as we walk through the mares and foals today was how many of your mares he's in the background of, like the foundation that he's built in your.
But that's not only
program.
Here, that's right.
Around the world. But yeah, it's nice to see here as well, because different times people will stand stallions and promote them heavily, but then they don't have anything by them or they don't keep stuff by them. It's a sign here, you're not going to keep a horse if it's not good enough. And it's a great sign here how many mares or how many of your horses here.
Voltaire in the background. I use them, of course, we use them quite a lot, and that's why they're also here, but I also use other stallions quite a lot, and they're gone. You know, you still try to get rid of some names in the pedigree, which I also saw in the days that it were good horses, but they didn't prove themselves as good as they should do. So, but he's still a value.
What do you think he brought to his offspring, or what did he add to the mares that was, I suppose, what made him so special?
First of all, the brain. He's very clever. Very, very clever horse. And he was very honest. He hardly could use the word stopping, you know, or refusing. He always wants to jump. Then he made another such a nice jump if the situation was there, but he jumped, you know. He always wanted to do the right thing for you. And careful. In the beginning, not so, as a 2 years old, not very great jumpers. Very good loose jumpers, they always have to know what's happening, but by the time he knew what the game was fine, then he gave himself, and they also, the offspring, gives themselves very well, and they do what they can do.
It's something that, you know, we discussed a lot this evening, but he's a perfect example of it, that he was not brought to the approvals because of what people could see on the outside, but he was such a success because of what he had on the inside.
That's it. He was they had a test, as we still have the test, the young horse test. He was the last of the 15 that got inscribed. He was the very last. And they said, well, because it's a nice horse, has a good brain and has a good pedigree, I think we still try him. He's not so good performer as a young horse, but we still try him. That was his first. He was last of 15, well, 15 inscribed, he was the last one. Fission was the first one. Didn't bring nothing. Fission, nothing. get nothing from that.
I was just going to say, it would be amazing to look at the 15 now and see what way you'd rank the 15.
Most of them are gone.
30 years on.
So that was lucky that we found him and that we had the guts to buy him. That was not the luck, it's only the guts that we have to buy him, could buy him, that we would buy him, you know. And that also, that gave me a lot at that time, gave us a lot at that time that we bought the horse. But it also gave me, I lost also a lot of money on because of that publicity. I in my life, had several horses that had bumps or whatever, that you think, well, it is not so nice on the x-ray, or it's not so nice here, but he can do the job, and he did the job. But people don't trust you, and they don't buy the horse, you know, then you reject it again. In the end, it get proved that you're right, but they...
It's too late by the time you get proven that you're
Voltaire
right.
Voltaire also was in the... As I said, he was rejected because of this, and this is all these things that doesn't matter, that not come to the internal quality. People always threw horses away because of his spotting or whatever, all the bullshit.
Who has been an important teacher for you in the horse industry? Has there been anyone that you've learned a lot from or that made a particular impression on you throughout your time in the horse industry?
I don't know really to come on with a name. The only thing you have to learn in study, you have to think, why is this? Why is this? I can see there is a bump, I can see there's an x-ray is not good, I can see it's in the book different than what I see on the x-rays or what I see, but why is that? Try to find out why it is, and if you know, if you understand why it is, you also can live with it or you cannot live with it, and you cannot live with small things because they have the bad reason, the wrong reason to be there, and the other things that you say, well, what? Who cares? And then they prove themselves to be a good horse.
So I suppose... Your best teacher has been experience.
Experience, and try to think. But yeah. It is not only this, there's a lot of things in the world that you have to think, why is this, you know, why should it happen? Does it matter? Does it come back? Does it have influence on the future? Or is it also an incident? Sitting in the train together, if we sit in the train together, can be very nice. We sit on the same window, you know, and you... drive backwards or you drive forwards and I drive backwards and I see only what has been and you look in the future and that's the only thing that counts and don't look in the past and say, well, it's a bump here and a lock there and scar tissue or you had this wrong and that wrong. Yeah, but that's past. The train goes on that way. I have to look on the side where we go if it matters for the future.
A similar question is, what horse has taught you the most? Which horse have you learned the most from?
Oh, he. Nothing comes in my mind is that this is the example. Yeah, Voltaire, but we talked about already.
Was there any horse that...
For sure there was one, but it doesn't come up.
Or even in your earlier years, either through the breeding or the sport, was there one that helped you to learn a lot fast or changed your perspective or...
A Carambole we bought on a small jump, not an auction, no bigger than these two chairs there, but he did it in such a fantastic way and so quick and so athletic that I thought this should be okay. And yeah, he proved himself, otherwise now he has, but besides of that, and he gives it away to also to his offspring, his reaction from the ground.
What would you like to see breeders do more of, or what would you like to see breeders do differently?
They should use... stallions, that's good in the sport, and they should not misuse a good mare to get her to the sport and reject her from the breeding. You should use the good mares directly from the third year on already. And it's a bit of an old-fashioned question. 10 years ago it was an issue. Shall I breed, shall I sport with this very good mare? And then I always decided to breed instead of going to sport if I have a good one. You should sport with the less ones. And breed with the better ones. But now that's with embryo transfer and ICSI, you can do both with the 3 years old. As I told, we had a very good dressage horse that sold to Sweden, but by the time she left as a 4 years old, we had 5 embryos. So then the problem is gone. But don't misuse them for the sport only. You should take care that you breed with the better ones.
And what do you mean by misuse? Do you mean lose the opportunity? Lose the opportunity to put them into your breeding program by going into the sport.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Hell, I travel a lot with Hell. You know Mr. Hell from Germany?
Holstein.
Fantastic guy. You heard it at Barbwire. That's the protection of the breeding. Barbed wire is protection of the breeding, because in the past, when a good filly foal came into the barbed wire, had a big wound, these damn farmers couldn't sell it, and they had to use it for the breeding. Otherwise, you should sell it. And that's totally true. You should not sell the better ones. You should keep the better ones for the breeding. But now, I mean, this problem is gone a lot with the embryos. You can do a 3 years old, make some embryos, or 3 and 4, you can ride a little bit into the sport, and then you do embryos as well, then you... That's the best. With the young mares, not the young stallion, the young mares.
Would you mind explaining your concerns with doing ICSI on the younger mares?
No, in general speaking. In general speaking, I'm concerned a little bit with the ICSI because you might get some local peritonitis and local adhesions in the belly, which they survive, of course, but it might hurt a little bit. It might hurt in the sport a little bit, and that's a little bit of concern I have. Some people say you're crazy, they're not. But I have seen a few that had the problem, and that is with the young mares. You want to sport them later on, and that might be a problem. And with the older mares, the same might occur, but they walk around in the field and they don't mind, you know. That's the only thing. I saw a few that had problems, which I can imagine. And with flushing embryos is no problem at all.
And something that it seems to get different opinions from everybody, but what's your opinion on the type of recipient mare that you're using and the influence of the recipient mare?
If there's a problem on the recipient mare?
No, when you're choosing a recipient mare, how important do you think it is, the type of mare that carries the foal and raises the foal?
Well, the type doesn't really matter. If they have a normal body, they can produce an embryo or a foal, then that's it. I don't think they'll really, if you have a bit smaller or a bit bigger, it not really cares. The brain must be okay. That's why this cold blood mare doesn't really work. You know, they stay under the tree and they stay all day sleeping, and the foal is also the same attitude. It must have a bit of a warm blood, good warm blood mare. What I don't like in trotters is that they come from a different environment, that they had a few, maybe I'm bad luck, that had a few that had an abortion after half a year in pregnancy or something, or 6 or 7 months old. But which I can imagine, because they live in a different viral environment. The trotter world is a different world. And they come into the warm blood environment, and I come home with a virus what they don't know, and then they get infected and throw it out. And that was very... It's sowieso a hard job to do and get it financial right, but then you have 1.5 year of pregnancy and they have an abortion, then it's shit. That's the only thing. Normal sound animals.
What one thing or what things do you think you do differently to most breeders?
Nothing.
Do you think you're...
Try to do the best of the best. Everybody tries to breed the best of the best. The only thing that I'm not such a commercial breeder, you know, like the ones that were sold expensive. I like what they do, and I dairy lose a few more, and so that's what I understand. I always try to produce something new, you know, find something new lines or whatever, and that's not always so economical, successful.
Do you think that in the long term it's paid off for you, trying to breed the best sport horse and do something new rather than always focused on the short-term commercial? Do you think that it's looking,
no, the
short looking term, back?
The short-term commercial now wins the game. It wins the game. Also, with the ICSI and the embryos, it's easier to get better ones from the better ones and quicker, and you still can do the sport and so on. So it will go that way. As usual, money dictates.
Do you have any fears or concerns for the future of the sport horse industry? What are your major concerns for the breeding or the sport horse industry at the moment?
It might get a little bit too close. Everything is family from each other. But on the other hand, I don't fear so much this in-tailed, line-tailed, how you call it?
Line breeding.
Line breeding, I don't mind so much. So I think it's far away from us that we think, well, we only have new bloodlines, Belgian bloodlines, and no, there's no... variety enough anymore, I don't think so much.
Is line breeding something that you ever intentionally do in your own breeding program?
Oh, I did a lot, yeah. I did a lot. I had a good... His grandmother was born. It's Catajo, Julio, Voltaire and Damon. His grandmother, I had a filly out of Twiggy by Voltaire, and I have a stallion by Almé from the same mother, from Twiggy, and I sent her to her brother to breed, and that's his grandmother, just to get the good quality of the Twiggy, of that Lucky Boy mare. Yeah, was more, how to say, more stable into that family. She came from two sides.
And did you just do that cross once?
I did a cross once. He didn't have such good semen, and that was ages ago. I sent her by transport to Sweden to be bred by her brother.
Okay.
And then she came back.
And with the offspring then, did the offspring that you were looking at, did it achieve what you were trying to do?
Yeah, they got it. They were nice horses, but not. I never bred a really special one out of them. He was a very good horse. He still, the Chungsk, very good. Very, very good, but he could have a bit bigger heart.
Okay.
I must say.
And when you were trying to line breed with some of your other breeding programs, did you ever try and follow a particular pattern or try and double up in any particular generations or?
No, if you have a good mare, then you would like to have a double back in the pedigree. You know, that's mainly the reason that you do it on a good one. That's what we call line breeding. Not with the stallion, but with the mares. Double male on two sides, the same grandmother.
And it's interesting, because I think a lot of the times when people are trying to line breed, so much of the time it's trying to double up on a famous stallion.
No.
But it's quite...
Not on a famous stallion, you do it on a famous male.
Yeah.
The females dictate the breeding.
What was your most successful example of it?
Not special. She bred a few nice ones, but not like him. But not really the big success I hoped for.
The final question, and this is the question that I finish each interview with, is what advice would you offer to a young breeder or to someone at the start of their breeding career?
It depends on if you have to buy a mare, you have to buy a filly from a very good family that produces well. And if your money is not, if you are in a restricted budget, you better buy the worst foal from a good family than the best foal from a bad family. And that always brings, that helps. Our best breeding filly from the Leentjes was a Lucky Boy filly that was too small and too ugly, but she had a very good family, very good bloodline and brothers and sisters, and she bred phenomenal. Phenomenal, it was the best, but she was the ugliest one from the whole family, but very good family.
But I guess, and something we discussed earlier was, ugly doesn't really matter. Had she qualities besides being ugly?
We didn't jump so much, I don't know, but she had a good walk, she had a normal trot, good canter, and that's it. And those days we did not jump them so much as well, but she bred very well later on. I just want to say, if you want to start breeding, look for the black type on the bottom line from the family, and then you buy one from that, and then you can start successfully breeding from that mare.
If you were to look back on your time in breeding, have there been particular things that have stood out that you would do again if you were starting again in 2020? Are there particular things that you would do again or focus on?
Yeah, I would not use so much the young stallions as I did in my life. I better should have been doing the proven first before start using them. Sometimes good, but a lot of times it's a bit disappointing that they not breed so well as they were, because they didn't before they compete in the sport. So you should use the stallions that prove themselves in the sport. I think that I should have done more. And the mares were good enough. And I started with my Twiggy family, that was nice, not especially as they could have been. Maybe I did better with better stallions using it. Herself was a phenomenal man, that jumped fantastic. Had a very good brother. I should have been more restricted now to the sport than when we started.
But I guess when you started, there wasn't the same emphasis being put on the sport.
It's a long time ago.
It's all relative, or it's all...
Yeah, yeah, of course. We lived in a different world. Yeah. It's the same as this 70-day test and 100-day test, whatever we have. In those days, we needed this test because the practice was not far enough to test our stallions. You know, it did not exist, so we needed the 70-day test. But now on, the sport is far ahead of the 70-day test. So we better get rid of the 70-day test, maybe to test it in the mind and so, but not it's not as important anymore as in those days. You know, Voltaire was one of the first horses that went into, as a stallion, went into the sport. That was, nobody did, you know.
An alien concept.
He stood in the breeding shed and that's it. I think Notaros never saw a little course or whatever. He ain't a test, but later on he just was breeding stallion. But so the world changed a lot, yeah.
And I guess for people now, sometimes you feel that people maybe still get a little too excited about who's the champion of the stallion show or who won the stallion test. But
no, that's not important anymore.
No,
that's right. So the practice, the test will see the practice there, but now it's far away ahead, you know. The practice is far away ahead of the 70-day test.